Do you ever look around and think, wow, the world is a crazy place, and it just seems to get crazier and crazier? Ease your mind and take a break. This is Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. We're a hub for inspirational Christian sermons, practical keys for Christian living, and Christian discussions and interviews. You'll be inspired to live the life that you were created for. Your host is a top-ranking podcaster, best-selling author, world record holder, aerospace engineer, life coach, evangelist, and founder of John Gifta International. Welcome to Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta.
Maybe the thing that's going to help you break out of the craziness in your life.
That's a word.
One of the things that a lot of people, especially in the Christian world, people find it hard to talk about is mental health. Mm. They're like, you're not trusting God enough, you should be more strong and things like that. And these are some things that people say, and it really irritates me a lot, especially because if somebody is not feeling well, you say, oh, let me pray for you, take care of you. Mm. But if somebody is not well in their mind, you're like rebuking them
and saying that demons
in them and, stuff like that. So, you are into mental health. You're also a counselor, and being a Christian counselor. Mm. Can you give a few words about the reality of mental health and to bring that awareness among Christians that is lacking?
I'm so glad we're talking about these things. Thank you for, bringing this topic as well. Because I think the more we have conversations about it, the more we are able to eliminate the mystery or the stigma around it and actually understand it for what it is. Mm. I think for me, I could not avoid this because, like I said, when my dad left, everything changed and there was so much that we went through, which we didn't have any help to deal with. At that time, this was many, many years back. And at that time, there was so much stigma associated with this whole thing, even in the non-Christian world. And, so I think that for me started off this whole journey of anger and depression, and I was very suicidal as well at one point, and there was no proper help to go through this. Either I was like, oh, I'm demon possessed, I need someone to, but then I was so aware of it and I was so ashamed of what I was going through. I thought I was literally the only Christian going through this because everyone seemed great on the outside. Everyone was like praising and smiling, and I didn't know that the enemy was using the same lies and the same kind of battles in the mind. And so there was a spiritual element to this struggle for sure. Like, there's always a spiritual element. And so I'm so glad that there's different people, there's different spaces integrating theology, integrating God and psychology, because for me it was that process of looking at my struggle through the word of God. And I also took up psychology because I was just drawn towards understanding people, understanding why our brains work like that. I myself am a very complex mind, so to understand myself also. And I think that journey helped me see psychology through the lens of God's word, of who God has made us to be, God's design for our minds. And at the same time, I think it's so important to understand the science, to understand the neuroscience, the way our brain works. There is a physical component to mental health as well, right? If you find it too abstract or too, whoa, what is this? We study our brain as part of the body, but we also study our brain as part of the mind. And so I think what we need to understand in the church is that God desires wholeness for us, right? In our body, in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul. And we are not just a spirit, but we also have a mind, we also have a body. So a lot of Christians also believe that we shouldn't take medicines or we shouldn't do anything for our... But I believe God wants holistic wholeness and wellness for us. He wants us to prosper. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in every way, even as your soul prospers. And I think that's the foundation and root of it. Like, God is the source of our healing and our wellness and our wholeness. And I believe that we can't have true wholeness without God, because He's the only one who gets right to the depth and the root, right? And at the same time, I think we need to make use of the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we have through science, through all of these people doing amazing work and research, whether they're Christian or not. Because we can learn so much from, you know, one another. And so yeah, I'm not a qualified therapist, but I have been in psychology since I was in the 11th and 12th. And for me, because of this personal journey, I've had that opportunity to really wrestle with these things, to really understand, you know, and ask all of these questions. You know, how much of this is this demonic? Is this good? Is this from God? And I do believe we need wisdom and discernment, but we need to start talking about these things honestly. Because, like you said, it's so frustrating when you have a real problem. There's no solution anyone's giving you, but they're giving you unnecessary advice or help that. You just need to pray more. Just, are you sure you fasted enough? You know, like, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, like you said, you know, this is a very tricky part, yeah. Because sometimes when you go for help, people only say that you're not prayed enough or you're not strong in God. But sometimes, you know, even in the scripture, people did go through things, you know, whether it's Elijah, the mighty prophet, he brought down rain and fire from heaven. Next minute, he was in the wilderness. He was in depression. Jonah, at one point, he said, I want to die. He went to that suicidal depression. Who's the other one who, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he said, things were so bad, I wanted to end my life. And we keep saying about Job, saying that Job was saying, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. But that was in chapter 2. But then in chapter 3, he said, you know, curse be the day I'm born. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, they all did go through this. You know, it's not just you. It's just sometimes people have said this, you know, you're a pastor and you know, I've gone through suicidal, you know, depression myself. Like, I'll tell you, there are different sides to this. See, one is the mental aspect, but there's also the spiritual aspect.
For sure.
Because, you know, either the enemy attacks you physically or he attacks you in the mentally also. I've also had demonic encounters, the demonic things. And sometimes when I'm walking on the road, you know, the enemy just wants to push me to end my life. And no, I've seen that. And I know, like, when I go through those swings of depression and all of those things, I think in the last 4 years, I think the cycles of depression increased even more. And I just started battling even more. And then I started slowly coming out of it. But that's the truth. It's people were saying, you know, you're not praying enough. You're not fit to be a preacher and all of these things. But then I'm open to share about it because I want people to be blessed through that. Like you said, yes, it's ultimately God who heals. But you know, the Lord was reminding me while you were sharing in 2 Kings chapter 20, when King Hezekiah was about to die, God gave the word saying, you're going to live for 15 more years. But he also gave another command that people don't remember much. And that is, you know, he said, go and take these leaves, I think fig leaves or something, and put it on the boil and you'll be healed. So God, yes, God is the ultimate healer, but sometimes God also uses means like this. God is the one who healed. God is the one who said, you know, you're healed. But he used that fig leaves. It's not that fig leaves had any power at that point. But, you know, that's why, you know, maybe sometimes God uses therapy. God uses counseling. God uses, you know, certain things that you can do. So can you shed a little bit more light on, you know, people being open to taking up such means?
Yeah, I think what two very important things that you said, right? Everything is spiritual. That's what I believe. Because we are made of spirit. We're living in the spirit realm right now. We can't see it, but so much is happening in the spirit realm. And the enemy's only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Like, I mean, he wants to destroy us and he will use any means necessary. And Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind, I think, was one of those pioneering books which really made it very clear and simple that, hey, your mind is a place where the enemy can take hold of and use these things against you. And so there are many ways to tackle this. And of course, prayer, of course, the Word of God are very foundational to build our spiritual strength, to build our spiritual muscle. But But thinking that that's the only dimension, or thinking that that should be enough, somehow puts this, I think that's where we've all come from, right? Like, especially our generation, we've grown up under this thing of, your faith is not enough, you're not praying enough, and so you're suffering with this. How can you be a man of God? How can you be working in ministry and then go through all of these things, especially? And so I'm really grateful that you're even willing to share about those things, right? Because we do two things with mental health, right? Either, like I said, either we ignore and deny it, or we think, oh, just because someone has a mental health issue, something is totally wrong with them, they can never be okay, and God is not with them. We can go to that extent also. But
they tend to demonize.
Yeah. That's a real, really bad thing. So let me do one thing, right? Like, I want to break down mental health for you. What is mental health? I've even heard people saying, oh, that person has mental health. No, we all have mental health because we all have a mind. Do you have a mind? Let's start there, right? What is our mind, right? It's our emotions, our thoughts, our whole experience. And so mental health is part of all of our lives, just like physical health, right? We talk about it. That's all that it is, right? So mental just has to do with the mind. Let's start there. And so it's all to do with our thoughts, our emotions, and our behavior, and things that happen in this realm, right? And there's different levels of severity also to what we deal with. Just because you're feeling sad does not mean that you're depressed. If you're feeling sad, you're feeling sad. So take that emotion. You know, if you're feeling angry, we deal with emotions in therapy. We deal with thoughts in therapy, right? So a good therapist, even if it is a Christian therapist or a non-Christian therapist, a good therapist or a counselor is not someone who's giving you just advice to fix your life. Please listen to this, Christian counselors. You are not sent to advise someone or tell them, because I'll tell you something, like, pastoral counsel is good. Pastoral counsel is from the word of God, from, you know, God's perspective. You minister to their heart. You're representing God's voice in their life. That is amazing. But Christian counseling is different from pastoral counseling, because Christian counseling is not opening up the Bible and saying, what are you going through? Okay, I have a verse for that. Let me shoot that out. Let me speak that over you. Declare that, and that should fix it, you know. There is a place for that, right? Like, you believe that. I believe that. But therapy is about making space for a person to be heard, to be seen, to really, you know, go through their emotions, go through sometimes their past, the trauma that they've been through, or so many different things, right? But basically, principles of counseling and therapy is that you make space for them to be heard. You help them find their own solution as you speak about your problem, right? So many things come up. And there's much more to it, but I'm trying to simplify it. And a good therapist has to provide that space of understanding, acceptance, and safety, where you're able to face yourself and see what's happening on the inside, right? And it's so important to understand why professionals are needed in this field, because you won't, if you're going through something serious, right? Like, you're not going to go to some random person and take whatever medicine they give you. You will want to go to a specialist. In that also, you will take second opinion, third opinion, right? Because you want to receive the best care. And I think even in the field of mental health, we are all working towards it, hopefully, to try and get the best care to people. And so, yeah, I think therapy, maybe it sounds like a big word, but and some people might think, why should I go pay someone to just go talk to them or get advice from them? But that's not all that it is. It's not supposed to be that at all. Therapists are trained in many different fields. There are trauma therapists, there's cognitive behavioral therapists. They deal with your thoughts and behavior. So there's different forms of it. If you want to find out more, I mean, hopefully I'm also working on some resources that can help people connect to these kind of spaces. But that's the hope, that, you know, we'll try and learn more about this instead of either demonizing it or stigmatizing it, or just, or even denying that you need help. Mm-hmm. Just even that small step to say, hey, maybe I need to take some help. It's not that something is wrong with you, right? Or that something will always be wrong with you. But something is wrong with you, right? If you're dealing with a headache, something's wrong. You need help. And so, as simple as that. So I just hope that we can all do that, right? To just destigmatize it and to make it not something so extreme. And also understand that there are some really severe cases where you need medical intervention sometimes, and it takes a long time to, you know, see breakthrough. But you know, what are you going to do? That's what we're dealing with as part of the broken world. And either you can deny it, or you can say, hey, God's in it with us, and let's try and figure out how we can do this.
True, but in terms of mental health, yeah, like we say, okay, you know, if you have to take care of your physical health, they say certain things, exercise or drink this much of water, mm, and things like that. So that's good. So in terms of mental health, what are some things? I mean, of course, I did speak about this earlier, and I think there are a couple of points that we can come up that when you take care of your physical health, there's always that also is going to help you in, you know, having better health, mental health,
yeah, that's true,
and all of those things. But on a counseling perspective, on from your perspective, what are some habits that people can have that will help them have a good mental health?
So I definitely believe health is holistic. Mm. There's spiritual, there's physical, there's mental, emotional, right? And you can't neglect one without it affecting the other. Mm. And so we pay attention to all of these things. Like you rightly brought out, there is such a direct connection between the body and the mind. Mm. So many things in our mind affect our body and vice versa. And so, yeah, all of that is there. Specifically to do with the mind, I think some good practices are self-awareness is something that a lot of us probably need to grow into, right? To learn to be connected to your body, to what's happening. Most of the times we're not even here. Mm-hmm. We're somewhere thinking about future or past or something else, right? Some text that you didn't get a reply for, something. That's what consumes our mind, right? So just being present, being connected. And there's even exercises to learn how to do that. We call it grounding exercises, right? To learn how to breathe. And, you know, as soon as you say breathing exercises, people are like, oh, what? But see, we have to get comfortable with the truth that our body and mind and emotions and our spirit are all connected. Like, Prakriti, spirit is not sitting somewhere else. I mean, I don't know, spirit world. But then, you know, God has designed it in a way, right, that we are one being, right? And a lot of these problems happen when that dissociation happens as well, and we're not connected with our mind. So yeah, being present, being aware, I think even being comfortable with journaling, talking through your emotions and thoughts, really helps. And we have some amazing tools from the Word of God as well, right? Like to take our thoughts captive. What does that mean? It's not just to say, I take all my thoughts captive right now in the name of Jesus and then forget about it. It's not just that. It's to sit down with your thoughts and be like, okay, say I'm feeling negative about my face, for example. Say I have pimples and I'm like, I'm feeling, okay, what do I do with that now? It's affecting me, obviously. It's affecting how I feel about myself, my confidence and all of that. I can just say, oh, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. I can do that. If it's especially, I mean, strongholds do break in the name of Jesus. We believe that. And we need to do that. But it also can start with you sitting with that thought and saying, okay, right now I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling frustrated about my face. This is the situation. And then just processing that and just facing that instead of suppressing or denying it, right? Things like that could also help. And yeah, I did a workshop recently where we kind of shared a few things like this. But I would also say if it is getting a little difficult, don't hesitate to reach out for professional help, because that does help to break things down, bring in a lot of awareness, because sometimes awareness is like that. Someone needs to tell you from the outside. Like, you can't see some things, but so yeah. And then there are of course the spiritual practices of reading the word, being with God, spending quiet time. Those are foundational as well. So yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. So I spoke on very similar grounds last time. So nice. I think especially the awareness part and all of these things are kind of new. So
yeah,
it will definitely be helpful for those of you who are watching. And also remember, like, there's nothing wrong in taking help,
yeah,
right? Like,
definitely.
We want to remind you that there's nothing wrong in taking help. you know, we are there, Prakriti is there. There are so many, you know, go to the right resource. Like, don't go to the wrong place and get into more mess, but go to the right place and you'll definitely, you know, see some positive results in your life as well. So if somebody is battling depression or suicidal thoughts right now, what is your word to them, or how can they deal with it?
If you're dealing with depression and suicide, it would be best if you can take professional help. The reason being, you know, sometimes with things, you don't know when it can get really bad. A lot of people are also going through high functioning depression, which is you're actually not doing okay. But because we've gotten so used to pushing through, just going ahead with life, I'm fine. You're doing things as normal and no one may know it, but you know, you're actually going through that, right? And only that's why a lot of people don't want to be in quiet spaces with their thoughts, alone with their thoughts. They try to avoid it no matter what they do, right? So what I'm trying to say is, when it comes to depression and suicide especially, it is quite serious. We don't want to underplay it and just, you know, just to feel better about ourselves. We don't want to be like, oh, I'm fine. So it might feel really hard, it might feel scary, but reach out for help. Because the right resource, like you said, will be able to help you process these things, deal with these things in a better way. You don't have to succumb to, you know, the danger that is depression and suicide, because it could get dangerous at some points, right? And so it is important that we understand the seriousness of it and do reach out for help. I know finances might be challenging at some point and all of that, but think about it. Your life matters. Your life is worth it. And if you can get the help that you deserve and need, don't let anything stop you from doing that. Maybe 8 years ago, I would have just said, yeah, God will deliver you from depression. Just keep praying. But today, I really do understand the need to seek help and the need to really be open about it. Talk to someone that you trust. You know, there would be at least one or two people, I think, around. Maybe not in your immediate circle, if you're afraid of being teased or bullied. You know, but do find someone that you can trust and ask for help, because it's important and you deserve that help.
Especially when you think about Elijah, right? When he was going through the depression, the first thing he did is he cut himself off from people and he started magnifying, saying, I'm the only one going through this, you know, nobody else, and all of these things. But you know, one of the things that you can do when you are going through that is, you know, make sure that you don't cut off from people.
Yeah.
You know, like, take intentional steps to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And also, you know, don't let, I mean, it says, the scripture says that he went into the wilderness, like, you know, like a wilderness of the mind is where people go to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they constantly keep thinking about it, keep thinking and keep meditating on it, like,
on those thoughts,
day in
yeah.
and day out. And what happens is, you know, and they also be careful what you watch and listen during that time.
Yes.
Because I think a couple of months ago, I ended up, I mean, just I was watching a documentary, and that documentary was about a guy who committed suicide. And you know, the next day, everywhere I'm walking, I feel like, okay, you're going to end your life, you know, like I was in that, you know. And then I'm like, okay, even the documentary, I have to be careful in what I watch, you know, because if you know what is your pitfall, if you feel like you're going to be depressed if you're watching something, or not just depression, it could be something that you're dealing with. Like, you know, if somebody's dealing with lust, okay, and if you're going to be watching romantic movies after romantic movies, it's only going to, you know, so you need to get to that place, like, okay, identify what is your issue and be aware of that, and, you know, cut it off in the root. You know, if watching something is going to affect you, if, you know, being with a group is going to affect you, or being alone is also going to affect you. Take the right steps, and that is something so important.
I also want to add about depression, right? Like you said, there are things that you can do. I mean, if it's a real struggle to reach out for help, it's really hard, especially when you're depressed. The only thing you want to do is hide, be in a dark room or isolate, or, you know, it could look different for different people as well. But I also want to say that sometimes even really small things can help, can really help you break free from it. Like, in terms of, like you said, watching what you are consuming, content and all of that. I think I'm struggling to put language to this, so bear with me. So there are many different aspects of depression, and there are also many different types of it, and there are different ways that people experience it. So that's why my first suggestion would be go to a therapist, someone who actually can figure out what exactly is happening, whether it's severe, whether it is mild, and based on that, they'll be able to help you navigate as well, right? Because there is that tendency on our own to either underplay it or overplay it and then think like, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know. So I think it's really important to have that. As much as I can give many tips from my personal experience as well, it may not apply to you. But yeah, start somewhere is what I would say. Yeah,
like you said, what worked for somebody else is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
You know, you need to understand that individuality of what is going to be specific to you. And that is something that a therapist and spending time with God, you know, all of this together, you will find that unique thing that works for you. For example, when I was dealing with identity crisis, you know, what I used to do is I used to stand in front of the mirror every day and I used to quote the scriptures. I'm cute, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm made in the image of God, and all of these, you know. Cute is not a Bible verse, but anyway, you know, whatever.
Cute is
I wanted.
What God thinks about us.
Yeah. So I used to say these things every single day, and that actually helped me have, you know, like when I step into the world, like, you know, after that, it used to really make it easy for me, like when I was dealing with that.
Right.
So that was something unique. Like if I go and tell somebody random that I did that, they'll think I'm crazy. But you know, what is a crazy? Maybe the thing that's going to help you break out of the craziness in your life.
That's a word. For me, holistic wellness is so important, and I want to help people really get comfortable with dealing with their emotions. And I think that's the reason, you know, I've been talking about it, talking about my own struggles. It's something that you've said, you know, has my brain buzzing. So I just want to... so much of our thoughts and our emotions are because of neurowirings that have happened over the years, right? Like our upbringing, the patterns, the things that we are around. It's not just media, it's our close people, close ones, family, parents have a very significant influence. Friends, things people say, things we get into our brain, right? And especially when we grow up, as we grow up, so many things shape our understanding, our worldview, the filter through which we are looking at things, right? And so, say for example, overthinking is something that is part of anxiety, yes, but overthinking is also something a lot of us do in general, right? Because we've, especially introverts, I think, I don't know, maybe extroverts also do, but I can speak for myself. You just think about everything, right? And like there's so many thoughts going on in your head. Now this, yes, there are practical things that you do to change this, right? And that has to do with like the rewiring of your brain, the patterns that you have, right? And so that takes on a process of really breaking it down and seeing, you know, how, what is leading to what, right? And I think it's important to understand this because it'll give us these specific tools, like you said, to like basically what you were doing, you were rewriting the thought patterns in your brain. You want to affirm for yourself that this is what I believe about myself, so that when the default belief that's already wired comes, you're able to have another resource and say, no, that's not, I might be thinking that, I might have felt that in the past, but now this is what I want to believe about myself, right? And so it's important to do that.
Just to clarify, so the one that you were talking about is to break those old patterns in your mind, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because thoughts can form strongholds, and like you said, there are spiritual ways to battle that, and there's also you know, evidence to prove that we can do that by taking small steps to rewire, to renew our mind. The Bible calls it renewing our mind, Romans 12. And so that's one way to get victory over these patterns, whether it's overthinking, whether it's resorting to sadness or, you know, different things.
What is your take on soul ties that people are dealing with, and how can somebody deal with that or overcome that?
So, with regards to relationships and soul ties, what is your specific question about it?
No, like, it's just the, again, people need to be aware of this.
Okay.
I think many may not know what exactly it is. I think I just stumbled into that word when somebody said soul tie. I'm like, what is this? People may not know what it is and how do they break, like, if they're not even aware of what it is.
Right, okay. Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, especially in the church, this is important to talk about because, you know, we talk about physical purity a lot, like maintaining boundaries, not, you know, doing anything before marriage. We talk about that in terms of the physical, and I think that itself is so challenging. And right now, a lot of people are dealing with so much temptation and so much of a challenge in keeping themselves pure, keeping to God's standards for their life. And of course, we know that, you know, when you become physically intimate with someone, a soul tie is definitely formed, and it keeps you. It makes you one with that person in so many ways, right? So it keeps you thinking about them, attached to them emotionally, in your soul, and it leads to so much hurt and so much difficulty in even, you know, getting over that person and moving on. And so that is definitely a thing, of course. And there's, apart from just the physical part of it, there's also emotional bonds that get formed, right? When you talk to someone all the time, when you're depending on them for emotional resource, whether it's comfort or whether it's just someone to talk to, and, you know, and a lot of people do this. I'm sure, like, I've done it many times, and a lot of us do it, right? Like, we have someone who's just there for us, but then somewhere it crosses that line from friendship into something else, which is unidentified, because it's neither this nor this. And then you end up forming really strong emotional attachments, which you depend on, right? And so that can also qualify as a soul tie, because you are dependent on them, your mood depends on them. If they are sad, you are sad. If they don't talk to you, you're sad. You know, and it's not God's design for any of us to be in those kind of unnecessary ties, right? Because it prevents you from really being the full, free individual that God made you to be. And God's design for us is that in the context of marriage, you are tied to one person. And we also see healthy soul ties, right? Soul ties can also be in any close relationship that you have, and some of it is good. Like, there is a definite bond between a mother and a child that goes beyond the body. There is a soul connection over there, right? And so there are God-ordained soul ties, and then there are things that we do outside of God's good plan for us. And so it's important to be aware of it. It's important to actively work to break it through prayer, through, of course, you renounce, you pray, you ask for the blood of Jesus to wash away this the spiritual aspects of it. And then you also have to take steps in the natural, which is not to think about that person, not to keep connected to that person, whether you're talking or you're, you know, do whatever you need, right? Like, if it's deleting photos, if it's burning letters, I don't know, but we need to be vigilant about it for sure, because it is something that really drains you and draws from you, prevents you from fulfilling your purpose and fulfilling the destiny that God has for you. So, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, if you are going through something in your life where you may not be aware of, like, but you're connected, or you feel like, you know, like what she was just describing is part and parcel of your life, I pray that this will actually be the thing that sets you free in the name of Jesus, right? You know, take those drastic steps. Like, you know, even if something is affecting you, like I said, you know, if some watching something is going to affect you, just delete it, unfollow, or whatever needs to be done. You know, because that is so important that you are well as an individual, right? When Joseph knew he was in trouble, he didn't sit there and watch and be like, okay, he ran from that place. So, you know, it's important that you take the step to run from the things that are keeping you from God's call over your life.
No, I wanted to add Proverbs 4, right? Like, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, and out of it flows the issues of life. Everything that we're doing, everything that flows out of us. And guarding our heart is, we've heard the verse many times, but I think it's an ongoing journey with God, like you said, to figure out, what does my heart need? What do I need to keep myself pure, to keep myself focused on God, to... And we need to be honest with ourselves when it comes to this, because we can't just be like, I'm guarding my heart, right? But That's a life verse, if there ever was one.
Just because you told that, I was reminded. Yeah. I used to put on worship music and, you know, mostly Michael W. Smith and things like that. And so at one point I realized, like, you know, the, like, my crush kind of girls are the girls in those videos, you know.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, okay, you know what, I need to be careful. Then yeah. Till I overcame that, for I think 2 months, I stopped watching those videos and I listened to different worship music. And then I watched it, and I'm like, okay, fine again. So, you know, so what I'm saying is, you don't know from where you can actually, I know it's not connected. I don't know if that is soul tie or anything, but it's just crush or just, I don't know what you call that. But I'm just saying, you don't know from where it can come from. It can be even in a subtle way through a worship music.
Yeah.
So that's a word of...
I mean, this is a common struggle for all Christian girls, because all the cool boys play guitar on stage.
So,
I mean, see, I think it's important to address this. I'm so glad you mentioned this, because I think there's a lot of unnecessary shame around this also. I mean, God made us for relationships. God made us for love. And I don't think we should be ashamed about it, because when we do that, we're not addressing the issue. We're just shying away from it. We're denying it. We're hiding it. This is a natural part of life. You cannot get through life without dealing with attraction, with, you know, friendships and things getting complicated. It's a natural part of life. And learning how to do it God's way is the best bet we have, right? I grew up with so many crushes. Nick Jonas, David Archuleta. Yeah, it's just... But I think the key is, I think in the church, right, we really need resources. We need to start talking about this, because purity culture and just this whole concept of purity has also made this thing like an unattainable standard. Either it's that, or it's just like... we have hypocrisy, right? Like where we're pretending. So I think it's really important to talk about this. And so, yeah, there's no shame in it. God knows, God has made us, you know, for relationships. But that means that God has His design for it. And we would benefit a lot if we learn what that is. And if we allow Him into that journey as well.
Yeah, so, don't shame them, but rather talk to them about it.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
That's so good. So good. So now, quick. Rapid fire, you need to answer as quick as possible.
Let's get ready. Activate my nervous system.
So, if you are any character in the Bible, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow. Okay. Jael, I think. Jael is this character.
Wow.
Okay, Jael is this character in the Bible. She's a woman, and she, I don't know the story of. The details of the story very clearly off the top of my head, but what I do know about her is that she literally, the enemy comes into the tent, right? And she was used by God in a very strategic moment to just obey the voice of God and to gain victory in that moment over the enemy. And I think what she did was so bold, was so full of obedience. And it was in response to a long, lifelong relationship with God, right? Like, that defining moment is what we see in the Bible in that story. Very little is mentioned about her. That's probably why, you know, she may not be known also. But there's so much that you can read between the lines. There was this whole relationship that she had with God that prepared her for this moment. She knew exactly what she needed to do. She had the boldness, the courage, and just the tenacity to do that, right? And... I think, yeah, it's a very inspiring story. Sometimes we see the whole lifespan of people and we're like, wow, they did this, 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 this. But in her life, we just see this one thing, but it speaks of her whole life with God. And so, Jael. But if I had another choice, it would also be Ruth. Because I'm Prakruti.
Oh, but, that's nice.
Yeah.
Because you made that pun, I was reminded of a joke I made yesterday. It came to my mind, like, who is God's son?
Okay.
Who was God, sorry.
Yeah. Who was God?
Yeah.
Who was God?
Yeah. No idea? So,
it's the joke.
Adam's son. Because God is evil.
Oh no! Oh no! Did you guys catch that? Do you want to repeat that?
So, God is able. Okay, so we say no about sales.
Yeah,
so I nice. Made that one. So as a singer, if you can collab with anyone in the world, I know it's a very typical question, but who would that be? Anyone in the world, any singer?
Wow, okay. Oh my gosh.
Lauren Daigle? No.
Lauren Daigle and me on the same track. So I love Mandisa. Mandisa is one of the people I've grown up listening to. She's not very well known, but she's had a big
overcomer
role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even before that, there was an album that was so good. Lauren Daigle, of course. King and Country. I think their music is really good. But I've thought about this, and right now, off the top of my head, it's not coming. There are many people. As many people, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in the worship music scene, so so many people that I look up to.
Yeah, if you tell one, you can't go with the next.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyway, that's cool. So, what is the one unusual thing about you that makes you stand out?
You have to tell me. I don't know what makes me stand out.
It's like I have self-awareness.
That's good. What makes me stand out? What makes me stand up?
I know.
I mean, one thing is definitely worship expression. I've heard a lot of feedback about that. When I worship, when I lead worship, I do a lot with my hands. And some people don't understand what's happening, right? Like spirit-led worship.
I was about to say hands. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's one visible, unusual thing. That's... Two things about that. One is, I think when Jesus sets you free from a lifetime of bondage, you don't care how you look when you're worshiping Him. You're just like... But also, I think prophetic worship, there's a lot to it. We won't get into that. But I was so happy when I saw Stephanie Gretzinger worship. And I was like, hey, she's doing that with her hands as well.
Yeah.
There's something to this that... I mean, I'm not weird or wrong for doing this. But yeah, there's a lot more to that. But I think, yeah, unusual, that's the thing that would come out. Maybe... What else? Anything else that's good? I think I'm very honest and vulnerable, which is also unusual. Yeah.
I think one more thing about you is like so friendly.
Mm.
Yeah. So
thank you. I hope that's not unusual in the church, though.
No. It's...
Yeah.
Especially like... I know we spoke about against celebrity culture, but I interviewed so many different kinds of people over the years, and I've seen that like it's so hard. Like, I mean, like you said, when we started the conversation, like, how is it going to flow? Like, I've had conversations with people, I can't speak more than two sentences. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I say? You know, but with you, like, time went like crazy. That's good. So, and anyway, I need to ask you this also. So, as you keep traveling and all of these things, how do you unwind yourself after an exhausting day?
There's this cartoon called Bluey I've been watching. It's so cute.
Okay.
It's on Hotstar. It's a children's program. But yeah, I mean, right now that's what I'm... how do I unwind? I love movies. I love shows. But right now, you open Netflix, you just scroll for half an hour, then you just close it because there's something... But yeah, I love art in the form of film and movies. I love it. And music, of course. But I think taking just a quiet day at home, just not doing anything, which is hard to do for me sometimes, but that really helps me unwind. I love nature. And I love spending time with my family and friends also when I come back. So
nice. And the most important question? Thoughts on Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? I actually really liked the cartoon. Growing up, Cartoon Network was the bomb. And what else to say? I have not seen it in a while. But
so the minute I saw you, I thought you were going to be Velma. So.
Oh, you name your characters? I'm sorry, I'm Prakriti Angelina. I will not be put into any other character because I am myself a cartoon and a character.
Amen.
But I love the cartoon though. Mystery Machine was like the
so that's so good.
I should start an interview with you, but like what started off your what was the moment you knew Scooby-Doo was going to be part of your life forever?
I don't know, ever since I was young, Scooby's been my crush, like no matter what. Faithful to Scooby-Doo. So and like you said, unwinding with cartoon, for me, like, I don't like literally watch every time, but sometimes just seeing my collection, just like, Scooby, you're so sweet, you're so cute.
Nice.
Just makes it so cool. So any words towards me, the ministry, and the podcast, like, what?
I mean, like I said, congratulations on the 1,000th episode. It takes a lot of consistency and hard work. I mean, we know Vihan is a common friend, and I've seen that in her as well, right? Like, that she's so dedicated, and I really admire the consistency that it takes to get something going. Just the fact that you've been coming here, you know, doing so much work for so many years, I really believe that one, it is the grace of God. God gives us the passion and the fervor to do it. And the only way you get better at things is also by just going
doing
and
it.
Doing it and, you know, having these standards of excellence. And so I just want to say, may God bless you and all that you're doing. And may He, you know, as you approach these new territories as well, may He give you the resources and the wisdom, and also help you impact the people that He has assigned for you to impact, you know, through your life. And so, yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. It was fun.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Anyway, so guys, we've come to the end of this conversation. I hope you guys were blessed by this. We're going to end with a word of prayer. But before that, I encourage you to like, comment, share, subscribe, and check out the daily podcast. If you're checking this on YouTube, it's available on over 60 platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, JioSaavn, iHeartRadio, and so on and so forth. You can also check out the podcast where my messages get dubbed into Tamil every week. And you can also check out my books, including my second one, Unveil Your Purpose. I'm sure it'll help you in your walk with the Lord. And there's so many different things you can check out every single day's content and inspiration and encouragement. And if you want more details, check it out at www.johngifter.com or my social media feeds as well. So thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much, Prakriti. So first things first, I'll pray for you, and then I want you to pray for me in the ministry.
Sure.
And all the those who are listening and watching.
Sure.
Any specific thing that you would like for us to pray for you?
I think it would just be the mental health ministry that I'm doing right now. Sorry, I'll start again. I think it would just be the mental health ministry that we're doing right now, just planning and praying and building a lot of different things. I really believe that it is the need of the hour, and especially post-pandemic, there are so many things, so many resources that we need. So just for that, probably, yeah.
Okay, sure. Lord, we come to you this day, and we thank you for this time that you've given to us, and thank you for bringing Prakriti our way. Lord, I pray and thank you for the way she's been a blessing. She has so much that you're poured into her, that she has poured out to all of us today. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you will bless her with more wisdom, bless her with more resources, bless her with more keys from the heavenly kingdom. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll share keys that will help her to unlock new levels and new dimensions, especially as she's planning about things in the mental health sphere. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, I pray that you will lead her, you will guide her, you will make a way where there seems to be no way. God, I thank you, because even as I'm speaking, I see like a tunnel. The Lord is just leading you through that tunnel, and God, and you're just taking in the things that you need to take as you keep walking. And I see that vision right now, and I pray that as you keep going through the season, God is going to keep downloading things into your spirit. God is going to constantly plug in ideas and creativity. Just keep taking them and keep walking. And as you keep walking, at one point, you're going to step out into the thing that God has for you, like a big mine, like an area where, you know, there's so much that God wants to deposit over you and use you for the extension of His kingdom. Lord, I release this word over her. I pray for her life, her family, her future. I pray for everything that is concerning her. Lord, I thank you, because the scripture says you're going to grant the desires of her heart. Lord, the things that she didn't even talk about or pray about. But God, I thank you, because you're going to grant the secret petitions of her heart. That's what the word is coming into my spirit about you, that God is granting the desires of your heart. And again, Lord, I also see another vision of you writing, Lord, you know, whether it's a song or a book. But I pray for you know, more materials going to come out through you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much.
I release these words over her in the name of Jesus, Lord, let them come and bear fruit. We believe at your time it's all going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Let me pray for you.
Sure.
Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word and your purposes will never fail. Many are the plans in our hearts, God, but it is your purpose that prevails. Father, thank you that your kingdom is advancing, and you said the violent will take it by force. I thank you, God, for John, his family. I thank you for this ministry. Thank you, God, that he has been going after your word over his life, Father, in obedience, in faith, in boldness. Father, we just thank you that the word of understanding comes from you. The words of wisdom come from you. Father, we just thank you, God, that as you lead him, Father, I just pray that deeper wells of wisdom, God, would be opened up, Father God. Deeper wells of understanding would be opened up for your son, Father, as he ministers. Jesus, we thank you, God, that as you walked, you want us to walk on this earth, Father, whether it is seeing miracles happen, people healed, people set free. And Father, even as you know, he has been open about his journey, his struggles, and so many different things. Father, we pray, God, that there would be so much healing bursting forth, Father God, not just for him, but also through him, Jesus. God, we pray right now in this season, God, that you would be near to him, you would be close to him, and lead him into everything that you have for him, Father God. And when there is need for rest, when there is need for pause, pray that he would be able to do that. When there is a season to, you know, launch forth, Father, we know that you would give him grace according to each season. God, we also pray that everything that he's doing in this ministry, God, that it would just be set on fire by you, Jesus, that you would take so much delight in this worship, and also that it would just go out into the world as a bright light, shining your name, shining your witness, shining the truth of all that you are, Jesus, the full gospel that is in you, Jesus. The entire gospel, God, will be presented through whatever John is doing, whatever this ministry that you have entrusted to him, whatever you're doing through it, God. Thank you that you don't just, you don't just call the qualified, but you qualify everyone that you call and that you choose. Thank you, God, that your mighty power is at work in everything that he's doing. Just pray, God, that Jesus, you yourself would stand with him and direct him and lead him, and also just build him up, Father. You are the Word, you're the living Word of God. I just pray that you'll build him up every single day with your words of encouragement and edification coming straight from Jesus. I just see that, John, that Jesus is with you, that he is standing with you, and just even fueling your ministry, like you said, right? Like, he is the fire, he is the man standing among the lampstands. And even as we are in these days awaiting his return, I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint his tongue with words of fire, God, for the people that he meets, for the leaders, for the nations, wherever you take him, that you would prepare them for your coming. You would prepare them to witness your coming and to be ready for it, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. We give you glory. We give you praise. We even thank you for this episode, and we bless it. We pray that it reaches all the people that you wanted to reach, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Bye.
You've been listening to Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. We hope you were blessed and inspired to live the life that God has for you. Make sure to subscribe to the John Gifta YouTube channel for regular uploads of sermons, skits, interviews, and more. Follow John Gifta on Instagram for regular inspirational posts. And don't forget to check out the best-selling books written by John Gifta, Who Am I?, which will help you understand your identity, and the latest number one bestseller, Unveil Your Purpose, helping you discover your purpose and to start walking in it. Make sure to leave a rating and review, and be sure to share it with your friends and loved ones. If you'd like to donate, you can find the PayPal link in the description. And if you'd like to invite John Gifta to speak at your event, or to get more details, go to the website at www.johngifta.com. See you on the next episode of the Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. God bless you.